Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. From this festival of the Reformation, we turn to the words of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Dear brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, by God's grace, today we celebrate the 501st anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation. Where were you 1 year ago? I would say probably many of you were right here celebrating the 500th anniversary. I was still officiating it. I did not go to church in the afternoon. I went to a center. Now center in Sangamon. There they held a festival service. And as I was driving there, I was wondering to myself, will anybody show up? Over 2,200 Christians showed up for that service that day. It was a beautiful service with brass and choir. It was a beautiful service with Holy Communion, celebrating over 1.5 to 2 hours. What a beautiful service it was. And then maybe some of you remember this logo here from last year too. That logo won not only posters, but it was also seen on t-shirts, sweatshirts, even coffee mugs. Now here we are a year later. I haven't heard of any special services going on in Saginaw this year, at least to that great extent, with that many people, thousands joining together. I haven't heard of any service in Milwaukee either. I don't think Northwestern Publishing House is publishing any more posters for the 501st anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation, nor any t-shirts, sweatshirts, or coffee mugs. But there is one thing that we remember as we join together today. That the Lutheran Reformation did not end in 1517 with the posting of the 95 theses on the church door in Wittenberg. It continued into 1518 and in the years to come. Martin Luther and the Reformers have learned something just as unusual, that as we go forth in history, our God is ever faithful, extending his blessed promises to us, and also renewing our hope in him. So what was Martin Luther doing in 1518? In April, he was meeting with people of his order, the Augustinian order. Johann Staupitz, the leader of the order, wanted Luther to speak more about the situation. And it helped Luther advance that situation too. Advance his concerns about the church. It was called the Heidelberg Disputation. I would invite you to Google it sometime. It meant more theses, more statements, and maybe this is an encouragement for you to read it. It's about 28 statements rather than 95. Some theologians would say that that situation, that disputation, was even more important than the posting of the 95 theses, because it brought to light all the more how at odds the theology of the day in this church was compared to what the Bible teaches. And so Luther gave this disputation, and it's a beautiful thing that is mentioned in that disputation too. He starts out with a paradox, talking about how mankind continues to put on a pedestal all their works, all their glorious, beauteous works. Those works look good to man. Those works look good to other people who see those works being done. And man is tempted to put their trust in those works for their salvation. To think about how those works can affect my relationship with my God in a positive way. Think about all of your works, dear friends. church, all those times you have attended church, and there is that little Pharisee that eats in each one of us to tell us, yes, yes, this must come somehow before my God as a good work that will bring about the salvation and favor for me. And let Luther write that yes, you can trust in your works, but God will not accept them as a good thing in his eyes. God says clearly in his word, cursed are those who do not continue to do all the works of the book of the law. The law does not bring about life. It does not bring about salvation. The law accuses. The law judges. The law kills. The law condemns. We are to pray. We are, as Luther said, our beggars before our God. As man holds up his works, God says to despair of all human works. Here's the other paradox. Many people would like to look at their works as something good, but instead, they like to despise what Jesus has done. Have you ever read Isaiah 53 before, where it talks about how he was one like a man who hides their face from looking at what Jesus did? He's like one who had an eye for their faces. He was a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. And he considered him smitten by God, stricken and afflicted. Where does God point us to for our salvation? Not in our works, not in the least, but to Christ and his cross. The suffering is where we find our Savior. And in our suffering, when we bear a cross for Christ in his name, there is where we find our comfort, is in his cross, in his blood, in his righteousness, in all that he has done for us. Not our works, but his work counts for our salvation. Only in Christ do we have salvation. And we thank God for that wondrous gift of his Savior, his Son, our Savior. Oh, it's all about love. It's all about love with our God. It's all about the love he showed us by sending Jesus. It's all about that love fulfilled that's talked about in Ephesians chapter 1 that says, God chose us before the creation of the world to be his people. Now if God chose us before the creation of the world, obviously he loved us before the creation of the world, before there was light, there was love, love for you. How could you have done any work in order to achieve that choosing of God before he even declared, let there be light? It's all about his love. Before there was light, there was love. The love of God he had in mind already. That is grace, pure and simple. Dear friends, you are not loved because you are attractive. You are attractive because you are loved. And with that wonderful gospel message, Luther did not remain idle, but he went forth in faith and with renewed hope in God's word. He was renewed in that hope that God had given him through the gospel. Kind of interesting. You know what Luther was doing exactly 500 years ago now, in late October and early November? He had a special visitor come and see him. One who was dressed in red regalia. It was Cardinal Cajetan, an emissary, an ambassador from the Pope himself, coming to meet Luther in Augsburg. And there, Cajetan was not to meet Luther, he was just simply there to look for one
I take back all that I say. Did Luther say it? You and I know he didn't. Huh? He did not say revoco. He held to the Word of God uncompromisingly. As the book of Hebrews tells us, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. That's exactly what Luther did. And why did he do it? Even though the leaders of the church were upon him now, telling him to take back everything he had said and done, it was because the Holy Spirit was renewing his hope through the gospel. That was Luther's strength. That's our strength as well for every passing day. You and I know Psalm 46, don't we? Those beautiful words that say, there is a river that makes glad the city of God, the place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Those words from that Reformation psalm, the river of God that brings comfort and renewing hope to you and to me. What is that river? It is nothing else than the gospel. In our sorrows, in our difficulties, in the persecution times of the church, we trust in that river of God. That river of God's righteousness extended to us so graciously as he comes to us through the water and the word of baptism, forgiving us all our sins, strengthening our faith. That river of God runs to us and to our mouth as we receive his true body and blood for the forgiveness of all our sins. God is within her. And God tells us that even in spite of the persecution, in spite of the sufferings that we experience, God is within her. She will not fall. The gates of hell will not prevail against her. God renews our strength through his gospel, his life-giving gospel. And therefore, God encourages us and renews our hope with that beautiful verse that we often hear at the time of the Reformation when he says, you are really my disciples. But remember the first part of that verse? It says, if you hold to my teachings, you are truly my disciples. Hold on to them, dear friends, just as Martin Luther did, just as the Apostle Paul did, just as Christians have done for centuries. Hold on to those truths. For in those truths you find your treasure, you find your strength. But don't just hold on to them. Hold them out. We want to stand uncompromisingly upon the truth, but we want to compassionately extend the hope that we have to others. God has filled our hearts with peace and joy to know what Christ has done for us. Do we look with compassion at our neighbors? Around my area where I live, as I drive to work each day, I see people that are very different from me. There are men who wear hats that most of us, none of us, would wear. Their skin is darker. They worship another god. Should I ignore them? Should I maybe think that they will never listen to me? I shouldn't make that assumption, should I? Rather, I should extend the gospel promise to them too. For only through that gospel promise, only through the river of life that is extended to us through God's holy word, will someone be saved. Let us also extend that word not only to our neighbors, but evangelism begins right at home, doesn't it? How many of us take that catechism off our shelves? How many of us read a passage or two to our children, to our husbands or wives? The basic truths of God's holy living word are there in a wonderful, orderly way as we are worshiping in this way with this wonderful worship that Pastor Bodie put together of the catechism. Those truths are delightful, Those truths fill us with joy. Those truths urge us and encourage us to go forth with the gospel. Those truths renew our hope and our strength. Dear friends, the date on here is 1517. That's the date that got all the attention last year with the t-shirts, the sweatshirts, the coffee mugs. Let us remember that the Reformation continued on in the next year after with some very important events that happened in the Reformation history. The other date has changed too, hasn't it? It's no longer 2017. It's 2018. And Reformation still continues, doesn't it? The Reformation of our own hearts. As we despair of our own works and trust solely in Jesus and His work for our salvation. And then, with that in mind, go forth and live for Him who died for them, for you, and was raised again. Amen.